On that note, let's go to Mexico.
Okay. Let's get out of Dodge.
Yeah. Here we go.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Art Roots is back. In coordination with the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge and Astrid's solo travel advisor, Art Roots will be going to San Miguel de Allende, Mexico. Tucked in the eastern side of the state of Guanajuato, San Miguel de Allende is a renowned art colony and is home to world-class galleries, sites, food, and accommodations. The tour is set for June 1st through 7th, 2018. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien, and I am already clamoring to know all about Art Roots San Miguel de Allende. Here's Astrid to fill in the details.
Well, Catherine, up until, I'd say, the last 8 to 10 years, I don't think a lot of people really thought about San Miguel as a travel destination, or it really wasn't high up on their bucket list. But I would say probably in the last 5 years or so, you see more and more articles in media dealing with San Miguel, that it has a wonderful culture, which is diverse. It's affordable, and if you want a real nice, interesting, affordable luxury vacation, San Miguel is a good place to go. And then, here recently, well, also with some of that media, they always touted San Miguel as to be the most beautiful town in Mexico, because it's, first of all, it has year-round wonderful temperature. It's kind of cool at night, can get really a little too hot, but most of the time it's very temperate. So it's nice sunshine, a few layers, and the climate is great. Beautiful Spanish colonial architecture, has a wonderful feel to the city. The city also is very colorful. You know, there are a lot of different buildings that are painted in yellow and blue and pinks and all these different colors. And then you have the beautiful gardens and all of the flowers and the greenery. It's just beautiful in terms of architecture and landscaping. Then San Miguel, too, becoming more and more known for the cultural vibe there. A lot of the articles talk about the minute you get to San Miguel, you go into the Jardin or the main plaza, and you're always hearing the Maharaji bands. There's music in the streets all over, music in the restaurants, church bells at different times during the day. I mean, there's sounds there. So that's kind of the first thing that sets the tone for you, besides the beautiful visual colors and the architecture. The delicious Mexican food that is there, both high and low. It's not just street food or on the low side. There's a lot of very upscale, very high, what I call high Mexican cuisine that is served there. Then, this is an area, it's got a very interesting history. This area originally, where the earliest settlers were, this was called Mesoamerica. So this area in the early, before number 1 AD. This was an area that you had pyramids and very unusual type structures that were built, and a lot of very interesting primitive art that people are really taking notice now of and trying to understand and appreciate. Also, San Miguel, what makes it wonderful, and the reason why it's becoming more and more of a travel destination for solo travelers and, people who travel not solo alike, is all the open-air markets. I mean, there's so many markets now where you have craftsmen, you have designers, you have Just a lot of unique things that are sold at very good prices. You know, the shopping outside of the markets, the boutiques. It's unbelievable what they have now, from home decor to collectible art, to jewelry, handmade fabrics. So all of that, when you're looking for a vacation destination, somewhere that will be interesting to you, there'll be a lot of variety of things for you to see and do. In San Miguel, you really have this kind of feel, and it's not a big place, so it's walkable. It's becoming more and more really a travel destination, to the point where I'd like to read you a little bit of what Travel and Leisure has recently put out about San Miguel. They describe it, and they say San Miguel is one of the most authentic and creative, cost-effective destinations. Over the years, we've discovered more great restaurants and activities, but the town still maintains its Mexican heritage, culture, and charm. In fact, the readers of Travel and Leisure voted San Miguel as the world's best city in 2017. And this was something that I found out a month after I had decided with the Arts Council that we would take our second art routes trip or destination tour to San Miguel. So I guess you'd say, like minds think alike.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that you were ahead of it. Yeah, that's great.
Well, there were a lot of reasons it kind of focused me in that. And that leads me into the next thing I want to say. Besides all of these enticing reasons I just mentioned, I personally wanted to do something completely different than the art culture focused trip that our first art routes did, where we went to St. Petersburg. And this particular trip focused on the imperial culture, or the culture and the art, architecture, etc. of Imperial Russia. You know, St. Petersburg was created as an imperial city. And the thought that Peter the Great had is he wanted it to rival Paris in beauty and the arts, refinement. I mean, even French became very popular to speak French, and, you know, it was kind of looked down on if you were speaking Russian. But the tour to Russia really was very kind of highbrow tour. Our focus was on classical dance, specifically ballet, just all kinds of different things, very interesting things that you would never think about unless you had this opportunity. As well as, we also had a delightful evening where we had dinner with a prima ballerina. So that was a beautiful focus of that trip. We also did palaces, museums. We ate at the best restaurants. We went to, you know, a folk dance performance, which was a little different than obviously the classical dance. But the whole tour was very, I guess you'd say, highbrow and sophisticated. So this particular trip to San Miguel, I wanted it to have a totally different feel. Because the Art Routes program really was started by the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge, and its focus is to create trips that are focused on art and culture to different places in the world and the United States, to give people the opportunity to dig deeper into specific areas, what they're doing with their arts initiatives, and to not only enjoy it, have a lot of fun, camaraderie, but to bring back good ideas for our area and help us with our cultural diversity and development. So I thought, you know, let's have a completely different focus and feel for this particular trip. More relaxed, more casual, a little bit more free time. This one is going to focus really more on art and also some of the underlining forces that are have created these styles of art and these themes of art that have gone on that, in this area. But that's why it was chosen, because there are a lot of interesting things here, whether it comes into their cultural scene, their art scene, and even their mystical or their past history, and how this whole area began to develop. So I thought that that would be very interesting, because there are a lot of people there that are artists or craftspeople or people who've moved there that are engaged in creative endeavors. And so I thought that, you know, this would be very good to bring a group of people, because there might be some people who want to start woodworking or, you know, embroidery or painting or doing sculpture, that this kind of trip will inspire them to go ahead and take that first step, as well as just to understand more of what art and creativity is all about in a totally different area of the world that has a different culture than our culture here in the United States.
I really went down the rabbit hole when I was doing the research for the show based on the brochure. This is sure to be so interesting. I mean, it seems like such a unique place. It's the locale being sort of tucked in these mountains, I think, has made it a little bit of a, like an oasis. And then just to have the arts spring up in the way that it seems that they have is just, this is going to be so enriching, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. This place has a mystique to it. It does. It does. And it's part of kind of some of the things that I think about in terms of deciding where to travel, where I've traveled to. The more you travel, you start connecting certain dots. It makes you think about different things. It makes you ask really questions that you wouldn't have thought about until you go to this place. And then, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about all of that thought in our podcast, because I have some more things to say about
that. Yeah, well, I noticed that on the brochure it says this is a tour about art, culture, and mysticism. And I was like, mysticism? Really? I'm totally, my interest is piqued. But let's start with the art, because we're kind of touched on that.
Well, if you don't mind.
Oh, you want to change it up?
I want to touch on the mysticism first.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because I really do think that that is at the core of it all. How it all got started here, and this is a question I ask a lot of times. Why did certain things happen in certain places in the world, especially a long, long time ago when man was very primitive? You know, through the ages, man obviously has become more sophisticated and less attuned to maybe energy and some of the instinctive things that helped man survive and thrive. But these early civilizations in these early places where magnificent things have been built, it fascinates me. So this thinking about going to San Miguel really started, I would say, probably with my trip to Egypt. When I went to Egypt 2 years ago, it just blew me off of my foundation. I was so taken aback by the pyramids, by the Egyptian culture, by their spiritual beliefs, by their architectural ability. My husband is an architect. Their whole consciousness, I mean, it was otherworldly to me. There was really no good explanation. Oh, I mean, they'll tell you how they lifted these megaton things that weigh, you know, 200 tons and shipped them down the river and all this. I mean, it's just hard to believe that that could actually happen in those days. I mean, the River Nile is not that, well, the river is quite wide, but the area of agriculture that's right next to the river is not very wide. So it's just a small little sliver that goes down the Nile that was had where things started to evolve. But shortly after that, there was desert and just animals. Now, how did these people in this part of the world create all of this consciousness and these pyramids and all that? I don't think mankind totally understands this. So that started my wanting to understand more about what went on here, how it came to be, and really why there are certain things and structures in different parts of the world, specifically pyramids. Because these pyramids, I mean, why would primitive man want to build a mountain in the middle of a desert? I mean, there has to be a reason. They needed to get some kind of something from this. I don't believe it was just a homage or like building a cathedral. It was more, to me, it was more than that. I mean, granted, they had the tombs inside and everything, but I don't know. So I've been very fascinated with all the different areas in the world where there are pyramids to see, well, what were these people thinking? Why did they do this? You know, what can we learn from their pictorial things that they carved in stone? This is another thing. All these people use stone, and these different cultures would carve different types of symbols in there. And different things meant different things. And they looked a little different. But there is a certain common otherworldliness to all of this. I thought, you know, I think it would be very interesting to go into this area of the world where these pyramids are and take a trip there. And, you know, here again, I knew about San Miguel, and then I started realizing how beautiful it was, and it had great food, and it was walkable, and all of these things. And then I ended up running into someone that I've known for quite a long time. She's a very, very smart woman. She used to be a producer of all of our local television shows at our best station for over 20 years, and then she retired from that. She's done some specialty work with some environmental things in our area, which is very important in Louisiana. But I ran into her at a art gathering at a museum here, and she knew I was doing solo travel and read all about me and everything. So she was talking about San Miguel, and that she would love, you know, to take a group to San Miguel. And I said, look, I will call you, you know, in the future about this. So I did. And so we started talking about everything. And she said, Astrid, do you know, my son is a archaeologist that lives in that area, and he specializes in Mesoamerican archaeology.
Wow.
And I said, are you kidding? And she said, yeah, he has the number one travel TripAdvisor tour in San Miguel, and he takes it to everybody to La Canada de Virgin, which is a 40-acre site where there's seven pyramids, and there was a whole civilization right there on the outside of San Miguel. And she said he is the authority for this, and he does tours. And I told her, I said, That is great. We need to talk some more. So, you know, she and I got together, and before I got back together with her, I started reading about Mesoamerica, and I want to share this a little bit with the listeners because it all ties into this mysticism, and why this is part of, you know, what will be experienced on this tour. Mesoamerica basically is at the southern tip of Mexico, Oaxaca, and Mexico City, and in San Miguel, going into basically all of Guatemala. So it's all that area, and it was a pre-European conquest, really powerful area of settlements and tribes. And they were mostly the Olmec, the Mayan, the Aztec, and the Toltec tribes. And they had complete cultures. They worshiped many gods. They practiced blood sacrifices. They developed some of the first calendars, which helped them going from being hunter-gatherers to doing agriculture to sustain themselves. Now, how did these primitive people start all of that thinking with calendars? And they were very much into the relationship between astronomy and agriculture. And like these other areas of the world where pyramids are and other structures like this, the pyramids in San Miguel are astronomically oriented. And where they are and how they're lined up at certain times during the summer solstice, winter solstice, which kind of, I don't totally understand all this, but it kind of introduces or it shows that rainy season is about to come in, or the planting season and the harvest season. That these are all kinds of early thought patterns that these societies developed, and it was with their relationship to the heavens. Very interesting. Like, I saw one thing about when there's a double sunset, when the sun goes down and there's a sunset on one side of the pyramid and on the other side, and that's always the precursor to something else. They have all kinds of things with angles. Like, all I could think is side, angle, side with geometry and all these different things that I learned. Well, I thought, well, maybe there's a reason, because that then energy is bent and all that. I mean, you know, I never was into all of that. But I don't know. I think there was a lot of very sophisticated knowledge in certain things that was going on so long ago, and then was also lost. And now it's kind of rebirthed in another thing. On our tour, my friend's son, Albert Coffey, who is this archaeologist, he'll give us a half a day tour of this whole area, the pyramids, some fundamental information about their beliefs and practices of the early inhabitants, how these beliefs now are still intertwined into this area and the area's culture. His tour is basically called Archaeo Tour. And like I said, it's the number one tour by TripAdvisor. So I think that it's going to be really very interesting. We'll also have lunch and listen to a lecture about archaeoastronomy. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But basically, it's a study of how people in the past have understood the phenomena of the sky and the role that the sky played in their culture. You know, and I used to wonder why my husband likes to sit outside and look at the stars, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. I think these people did the same kind of thing, but on a much more sophisticated level. So I can't wait, basically, to ask questions about the similarities between the early Mesoamerican culture and their beliefs in the Egyptians, the religious practices, the art and architecture, the similarities and the differences, the symbolisms, because there are a lot of similar symbolisms, and then there's some different ones. And basically learn about the settlements and their relationship to their to what is aligned in the sky. You know, why did these ancient, why did the ancient man all over the world want to build pyramids? This is, I had this just really question. I mean, there had to be a big reason. It couldn't be just because they wanted to show that they were just big and, you know, the biggest man on campus. That's all I can think of right now. It had to be more than that. And then, you know, they are aligned with all of these constellations and these points. I mean, Giza is dead center of the world. I mean, that is just, that didn't just happen. I mean, I don't know exactly why it happened, but how did they know this was dead center of the world? They didn't know. They just did it. And they were drawn to do it for reasons that I don't think we totally can explain yet. And why did they adorn themselves, these primitive cultures, with masks and jewels? Yes, I mean, I could see they wanted to look cool or bring certain things in, but this is all mysticism. This is all stuff that, you know, was very real to them, and they were really into it. I don't want to get carried away, but there is some very deep inspiration. So all of those things, I'm a very curious person, so yeah. I like to ask questions and think about that. And certain areas where I go just really make me, you know, think about a whole concept of a lot of things. And then all of a sudden, certain things come together, and you have aha moments, and it's very enriching. Where did this inspiration, where did this inspiration come from to do similar things, but non-survival things, shelter and food, in these different places in the world? So, you know, I think of it as the root of this mysticism is still a mystery. It really is, to me, a mystery. They've explained a lot of things, but there are still a lot more to really figure out. And in this area of San Miguel, this mysticism, or these early mankind settlements, they're really being studied and analyzed. And it ties into places where the early civilizations of the world all had this mysterious quality. So on our trip, to kind of sum this question or answer this, it'll help educate us to the early culture and belief system, which I believe was based on mysticism. And I think it's fascinating. So that was the beginning to me of this area. And there was something about the location in terms of the heavens and the skies and being fortitude with the mountains and everything, where those early settlers felt like they could create a magic place, or a place where they could thrive and survive and live and create a wonderful place. So it started like that. Okay, in terms of the art, San Miguel has so much to offer. And this, the art vibrancy really has its root too in San Miguel's history, which is kind of out of the blue again. In the early 1950s, and this place was kind of like it had died after the Mexican Revolution, which was fought in this area in Allende, that when it used to be San Miguel de something, the Catholic Church, but then after Allende got Mexico's independence, they changed it to San Miguel de Allende. But this town was nothing going on, just a bunch of old Spanish colonial buildings. Well, in the 1950s, a series of artist colonies were founded here. And basically, two art schools after World War II, the Bellas Artes and the Instituto Allende, were created, and Americans came here to study art, and many of them stayed. So these early art colonies was really the foundation or the root of this town's creative soul. The mystical part came from the early Mesoamerican culture, okay? But the art part came after World War II, and this place was a beautiful kind of uninhabited place. The light was wonderful. The temperature was wonderful. There was something special about this place, okay? That started the art consciousness here. And now there is just a plethora of art, craft studios, designers, crafts artisans, painters, sculptors, jewelry makers. You know, this was also an area where they had a lot of silver. And they still do a lot of things in silver here. And that's another thing, that in these early civilizations where these pyramids were, there was always some kind of gold around or silver around. Yeah. Now, what is going on with that? I mean, I know they tried to say that it's because of money and wealth and all that, but I don't know about that. They would, you know, you could say that corn was, you know, it or whatever, or coffee. Coffee kind of gets there.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
But I don't know. I'm still not totally satisfied with. I think that there was something else that the value in maybe something in the chemistry of it or whatever that was important to these early civilizations. I have no idea. Also, writers, a lot of people who like to write come to San Miguel. So, you know, and you've got art classes and tours and lectures. I mean, there's just so much art going on. You know, basically, San Miguel, when it comes to art and creativity, it is on fire.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm going to get to some of the specific things when we talk a little bit more about the itinerary. But basically, if you love art, take this tour, because it is everywhere in San Miguel.
I can totally understand why you want to talk about the mysticism first, because it's like that is now the backdrop for this entire excursion.
Yes. No. It is. It's the underlying thing. And I think in our world today, people are struggling with their spiritual life and what the unknown is and what is, you know, all of those are questions that play into a lot of other things that they believe in, and how they, what they value, etc. And I think there's wisdom in some of these things that we've lost, that we could gain from, or we need to at least think about it and understand it. And maybe there is something there very powerful that we could get, that we could utilize. So, that is the foundation.
So you kind of hinted at the itinerary. You already have some things planned. Can you tell us more about the itinerary of the trip?
Okay. Well, you know, I really have touched on the Mesoamerican past culture. So that kind of gives you a real backdrop of the whole area. But our tour is really going to focus on how these past culture is interpreted and enjoyed today. You know, how they blend this old culture and this location with all these things that went on, and how it is still part of their culture today, but it's a very cool place to be, okay? In terms of the food, we have a lot of very fun things, great things to do with the food. You know, In San Miguel, you've got fine dining, you've got cafes, you've got street food. Well, we're going to sample all of that. We're even going to go on a food tour as well as a wine tasting tour. Now, I didn't realize Mexico had wines. But this area, in this particular area, have some wonderful red wines, some Cabernet Sauvignon, some Merlots, and Cabernet, they call it Cabernet something. I don't know. I'm not that wine expert. But we're going to be going on a wine tasting.
We'll be after this tour.
Yeah. That's another plus. But, okay. Then we'll be doing things that'll focus on the history and the architecture, you know, to really kind of give you the real feel of why it looks like this, feels like this, what was behind the, a lot of what's there, basically. So we'll take a historic walking tour and hit the main sites and really kind of just get oriented, what I call, to San Miguel's feel and beauty and the colors of it. We'll go to a mask museum. You know, masks were so key in this part of the world and in other cultures from time to time. Now, what would make a human want to wear a mask? I mean, there are all kinds of reasons and symbolism, but to even think like that is, it makes you really wonder, what was the first idea to wear a mask? I mean, there are whole kinds of reasons to wear a mask. Also, tied into that is, you know, this society honors their ancestors, and they have, it's kind of like an ancestral worship. They even have a festival called the Day of the Dead, where they call on their ancestors who have passed to celebrate with them life, and they do all kinds of very creative and beautiful things honoring their family, their ancestors, and life. And it kind of ties into maybe some of the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices, and all that kind of stuff. But a connection to your ancestors' spirit that have passed. You know, you can say what you will, it's fantasy or it's kind of woo-woo thinking, but I wouldn't be so narrow-minded about that. Just stay open to it. You know, you might get really something that changes your mind about that. We'll be going to the Mask Museum. We'll be learning about the honoring of the dead, etc. We'll also go to the Atotonilco Church, which is basically, they tout it as the Sistine Chapel of Mexico. It's just supposed to be gorgeous, all of the paintings. And it was done here. Then also we're going to be going to this fantasy kind of, it's called the Chapel of Jimmy Ray, where it's this kind of creative place that this gentleman built with all these mosaic tiles and mirrored tiles, and there's all kinds of things going on. But it's like fantastical, okay? And there's gardens around it. Well, this is kind of a combination of an old Sistine Chapel and a modern kind of spirituality that's just at one with trying to, you know, communicate with a higher power and doing it in a colorful, creative way. That's very interesting that it happened here in the same area. So we'll be going there. Then also, we're going to have the option to stay in, let me back up a little. There are many people who own homes there. I mean, they're literally mansions with gorgeous courtyards, beautiful gardens, swimming pools, you know, staff, and they don't live there 24, you know, all the month. They don't live there all the time. So they only come a couple of months of the year or whatever, and they rent these houses out. And these, all these homes are geared to indoor and outdoor living because the climate is so wonderful. Well, on this tour, we're going to have the option that you can choose either to stay in one of these gorgeous homes that you can read all about it, with these fabulous gardens, or a hotel. Now, if you stay in the homes, you've got to have more than one person, in the tour. But it, the our tour basically will be a total immersion of the sight, sound, smells, taste, and what I call the relaxed, sophisticated character of the San Miguel culture. So this is going to be a completely different kind of tour than the first Art Routes tour, but also what I think a very, very rich, interesting, and hopefully great fun.
It sounds amazing. It's totally intriguing. So here's the bigger picture question. I think you've already kind of touched on, but still, just to wrap things up, what do you hope that people will gain from this trip?
Okay, well, Catherine, I have a belief that every trip that anyone takes, whether it's good or bad, you gain something from it. Really, I don't know what it is, if it's just part of the motion, or if you went through the trip from you know what and everything went wrong. You just still come back with something that you learn from it that you will never do again, or you know, something in yourself that you messed up or whatever, you know. So that's kind of my introduction to the answer to this question. But, you know, from this trip, I believe that the travelers will, you know, be first and foremost introduced, and they'll learn to and they'll learn a lot about the Mesoamerican, its beginnings, the history, architecture, and the old culture. And really, this culture is a culture that so many people don't know anything about. They don't even know the word Mesoamerican. But it really was quite powerful and phenomenal in this area. And so I think everybody on the tour, they will understand about this culture, you know, after they've been on the tour. Then they're going to learn again some things about the Spanish colonial period, how it affected the architecture, the importance of Spain in this area, the Catholic Church, and really how this changed this indigenous but very powerful culture that was disturbed because of the early Spanish explorers that brought disease and everything to these older or these tribes. But how this Spanish colonial period and these, how Spain changed this area from being this primitive culture to a more European type of structure. Then, of course, after the Mexican independence, you know, how it went down and then how it started back up with all the artists. So you're going to get, first and foremost, the ebb and flow of the area's development and how it just has rebirthed itself several times. And then also, you know, what is that secret to San Miguel's magic? And how can we incorporate some of the things we experienced on the tour into our lives when we return home? You know, because a lot of times if you just travel and you don't think about, well, what are my real takeaways? And what, I mean, I think more and more you do travel, you not only experience the place because you like what you're doing and what the food you're eating and everything, but then when you get home, you think, oh, well, I'm going to always make my tacos this way, because, you know, so my point is, you know, how do you absorb what you're doing and then come back and put it into your way of life? I think that that's very important. Also, I think they'll gain an appreciation of the Mexican art, both old and new, because it's very cool and very modern there too. It's not just all of this crafts or, you know, kind of a Mexican feel to the art. There's a lot of different things that are going on there that are very contemporary. Understanding and knowing what great Mexican cuisine is all about, not just what I call tacos, enchiladas, salsa. You know, I mean, we're going to eat at some really good places. So I think that definitely everybody on the tour will come home with much more sophisticated Mexican palate. Okay. Then bringing home, you know, I love to shop. So you ask me this question, I think, well, what are we going to get? Well, probably bringing home a quality purchase. You know, I like to buy a souvenir that is something really nice. I don't like to just buy little trinkets. And it doesn't actually have to be expensive. But I'm always trying to find something somebody made or something that is a little bit different, that has a quality that I can have an attachment to, that I'll have enjoyment, whether wearing it or displaying it in my home, whatever. So it's a shopper's paradise. So I think they're going to have plenty opportunities to buy that just perfect thing, okay? Then also, you know, this is going to be a slow travel type of trip. Slow travel, I'm a big proponent of it. That means just going to one place and digging deep and trying to get into all of the different things that this particular area has to offer, what makes it unique, what makes it special. So this is definitely a slow travel experience, and I think it's going to be excellent because of all the layers of it. Make some new friends. I think on this particular trip, as we did on the trip to St. Petersburg, you know, when you take trips with other people, whether you don't know them or you know them casually or they're actually your friends, it changes the relationship. I mean, you develop a level of camaraderie that has those memories in it that is very special. And I think there is a lot, there's value in it, especially, you know, in our community. I think the more that you work, play, travel, and do things together, it brings your community, it makes your community stronger. And we in Baton Rouge, we have a very active arts community. We have a great executive director, Renee Chatelaine of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And she is very focused on developing our city in terms of cultural diversity, cultural development, and just different things going on in the art and cultural scene of the city. So by taking a group of like-minded people on a trip to an area that focuses on art and culture, etc., one of the goals is to bring back that new energy, what we've learned and experienced. And how can we reinterpret that in our area? You know, do we create an artist colony that focus on, you know, Zydeco music or whatever? I'm just yakking on. But the creative ideas come from these kinds of things. So I think that's one thing. And then the last thing is, it gives you an opportunity is just get out of town and have some fun. And I think this place looks like a great place to really let your hair down, relax, be casual, and also have a great time.
All right, let's get to the most important thing. How do people find out more or even register for this tour?
Okay. Well, the best way right now is to go to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's website, which is artsbr.org, artsbr.org. And I'm talking about the people from Baton Rouge because that's where I'm from. That's where we're headquartered. But this tour is open to anybody, anybody in the whole world that wants to come on this tour. You get yourself to the Lyon airport on June 1st, and we will have a limo there that will pick you up. You know, you have to obviously join a tour, sign up for, and pay for it. But if you're coming from China, you're welcome.
Everybody's invited.
Yes, okay. So you go to that website where you click on Art Routes, and then you'll see the information about the San Miguel tour, and obviously you click on that. And, you know, it will give you an overview about the tour. It's 7 days, 6 nights. The cost of the tour is $3,230 for doubles and $4,280 for singles. And that entails 3 dinners with your hotel accommodations or your lodging, 2 lunches, all the tickets to the exhibitions, the museums, the performances, transportation throughout the trip, as well as to and from the airport. Now, I talked about lodging or hotel. We have 2 lodging alternatives for this trip. You can either stay at the Belmont Casa de Sierra Nevada, which is their 5-star hotel, beautiful Belmont property, or you can choose to stay in a home. Now, if you choose to stay in one of these gorgeous casas, these in and out, these indoor and outdoor mansions that have gardeners and attendants keeping the house up, etc., you have to have more than one person. But they can accommodate as many as 8 people. So if you want to get 8 solo travelers, like my husband does not like to travel anymore. So I'm going to be going without him, but I'm going to be staying in a house with other people. So we're going to probably have 6 people in our house. One of my lawyer lady friends and this, that, and the other. So, and I think, our Renee Chatelaine, our executive director, is going to be in our house. But I was talking to her and somebody else that wanted to stay. And I said, well, we'll just create a happy house. So, but what I'm saying is you can choose between 2 different options. Both options are just wonderful. The registration deadline, the first deadline is actually coming up kind of soon. It's January the 15th. Now, if you're not quite sure, we can extend it a little while, but we want to put that deadline because we'd like to know who really is going to come so we can kind of start focusing everything just like we want it, because we might switch up some days that we go on the wine tour and the food tour and all that kind of stuff. Then by January 15th, you have to pay 20%. And then by March 1st, I think it's March 20th, you have to pay the final payment. So you don't have to pay everything at first. But you do need to register, number one. And then we want to know hard numbers for the most part. No visas are required for Mexico, so that's good. Just have a good passport that's valid 6 months after you leave Mexico. What you have to do is go on the online, fill out the form, and send it back to the Arts Council. If you forget about artsbatonrouge.org, you can go to my website, astridtravel.com. I don't have a blog post on it yet. I will. So that will be up shortly, probably within a week.
I'll put all the links and the post for this podcast episode on your website. So on your website, if you go to this podcast episode, I'll put all those links in there too, so they can just easily click. And I think I can even probably put the brochure up there. I'll give it a shot.
Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great. Okay. So, well, I'll just wrap it up by saying, even though this tour is sponsored by the Greater Baton Rouge Arts Council, it really is open to all travelers. you know, anybody who's interested in visiting 2017 World Best City, sign up. Because I really do think this is going to be a magical trip.
Yeah. You've already invited the entire world.
Yes.
You've invited the entire world. That's great. Well, listeners, please go to astrotravel.com. You can find this podcast episode and find out more information about the ArtWords Tour. I will put the links in the show notes so you can easily get there. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, now on Spotify, woohoo, and any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you put the ArtWords San Miguel de Allende on your calendar for this 2018 coming up. Thank you so much for listening. Hasta luego.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.